Video Marketing Mumble Jumble. Welcome back. This is our fifth episode of the Video Marketing Mumble Jumble podcast. My name is Avram Cohn.
I'm Elisheva Hudson, and today we're going to get into some really interesting stuff. We're going to get into the topics of our actual marketing videos. We've talked a lot about the importance of them, that you need to be making videos, you know, how we even got into video ourselves, but now we really want to get down to business. If you're making marketing videos, what do we actually make them about? And how the term niche marketing comes into all of this.
That sounds interesting. Niche is a fancy word. Do you want to explain what that means for a layman like me?
Yes, yes. Okay, so I pulled up just a basic, you know, definition of niche marketing. I've been hearing this word actually a lot for myself in my business, how important it is to be niche. And, you know, there's actually a concept, niche marketing. So it's a form of marketing that's geared towards a very specific population or a niche, as we know. So niche marketing is possible when businesses specialize in a particular service or serve a particular demographic within a target audience. So all I've been hearing lately, basically, as a business advice or branding advice, is the more niche you can be in your business, the better off you are. So someone explained to me, they used the metaphor of being a hand specialist, let's say, in a physiotherapist, right? So they said, if you're the expert in everything hands, even though it might seem from a business perspective when you first start out, that I want to be the expert at every single part of the body, anything that has to do with physio, right? Because then I'm going to get all the clients. But the reality is actually the opposite, is the more specific you are and the more you sort of show the world that you specialize in a particular thing, then the more clients are going to come to you. Because whenever somebody ever has an issue with their hands and you're known in the world as the person that deals with hands, then you're going to get those customers 100% of the time. So this is something I've sort of been thinking about a lot when it comes to my marketing and my business. You know, what is my niche? How can I position myself in that way? And how does that affect all of the marketing that I do? So I think this is a very interesting idea. And I think it's very applicable when we're thinking about the types of videos that we want to be making, the marketing that we're doing. It's a very important thing to be thinking about. So what do you think about that concept? Just the idea that being more niche will help bring in more clients.
It's an interesting discussion. I do have a follow-up question.
Okay.
Do you mean by niche, should I find a specific area within video marketing that I specialize in? For example, motion graphics, because that's what I used to always tell people. That is my that's my niche, motion graphics and visual effects. So that's within video marketing. My niche is motion graphics, or the fact that I'm doing video marketing. Video marketing is a niche within the greater marketing world where you can do content marketing and other forms of marketing. So I specialize in video marketing, and within that, because there's like a few levels, I guess.
Yeah, totally. So I think it probably, you know, there's something to discuss with each of those options, but the way that I thought about it was the first way that you brought up, which is thinking about what your niche is. So you mentioned that you're you know, animator, special effects, this is your niche. So when you go to do marketing, that's what you should be focusing on. So that's how I sort of take it. So niche marketing is taking that specific thing that you specialize in and focusing in that when you go to market yourself.
So your question to me was, what do I think about that? Well, over the years, I was first, I guess my niche has changed because in the early days when I was specializing in just motion graphics and visual effects, that was really my strongest points. For over the past 5 years, where I've been doing, most of my time has been spent just doing video editing. So I've kind of switched gears. So I still enjoy the, you know, the original motion graphics and visual effects that I was good at. But the past year or 2 years specifically, I find myself enjoying more productions, like creating entire, projects where I'm overseeing. So it's, I do understand the importance of niche marketing, but for myself, I found that when I offer video marketing as a general thing, come to me for anything video, I found I've started getting more business that way because anything that, anytime somebody wanted any sort of video, they came to me whether or not they had filmed before and they provided me raw footage. So I just want the video editing. They already had a concept for a script, or if they wanted an end-to-end production where I provided just, sending people down to film, directing, script writing, all of those services under one roof. Moving away from my original motion graphics niche was beneficial for me, for my business.
Yeah, very interesting. I think also that's another point to having a niche is that it doesn't mean you have to stay there, and it doesn't mean that you're not going to shift from there or even take other jobs that are outside of your niche. But I think that there is a benefit to just highlighting where either the aspect that you love the most or that you feel you have the most expertise in, because you're positioning yourself as an expert. And I think naturally, people who maybe don't need an animation but need other types of video will still come to you because they see that you make high quality work, and they're assuming, well, they must make other types of high quality work. So I think that, even if you don't plan on sticking within that niche 100%, I think it's still a really good idea and can only, like you were saying, like lead to more types of jobs.
You're right about that, and I've seen that when other people market themselves as in within the video marketing world. I'm going to pick an example: Surly and Freddie Mandelbaum. They do explainer videos. So when people contacted me about a very specific style of explainer videos, I automatically recommended those guys as the go-to for. I said, okay, that's their specialty. That's their bread and butter, and they've been doing a good job positioning themselves as the experts and the go-to people for that specific style of video,
Yeah, it's true.
as opposed to myself, where I just wrote, I put on there, come to me for epic marketing video. So people, approach me for, anything that's marketing videos related, any type of marketing videos. And if it's not something that I do, I recommend, I'm very happy to recommend people who specialize in specific areas. Or if I have overflow, I pass along work or outsource work to specific people. But I've found that focusing on marketing videos for businesses and organizations has been niche enough for me and has not been limiting. It's not like I say I do motion graphics and then people are like, not everyone knows what motion graphics is or is interested in motion graphics, or not everyone knows what they want. They know they want a video. They don't know if the motion graphics is right for them. So, I'd rather have them approach me. And if, I could always say no, I could always turn them to people who are more equipped and better geared for their specific needs.
Talking right now, you actually gave me another sort of idea too, is that I'm almost thinking that there's different niches for different audiences. So for example, you as an animator, if your audience, let's say, that you're trying to pitch to, that you feel like you might get jobs from, are other film producers, filmmakers, that sort of thing. So it seems like presenting yourself as like an animator, that would be really great because people are always looking to outsource, let's say, parts of their production company or what they're doing to different people, different vendors. But when it comes to people that know nothing about video, so you're right that positioning yourself as like an animator, let's say, or a cinematographer, or different positions within film, it might go over some people's heads because they don't understand. They just think, oh, what, doesn't one person make the whole video? So I think it's also very interesting to think about. And maybe it's a good segue into like another topic, is that you really have to always be thinking about your audience and how they're going to perceive these videos that you're making about your business for video marketing purposes.
In the past, and even now, I do create motion graphics packages for producers and directors, but I found that that type of work is not as popular. There are a few, and once I got my foot in the door, I'm working with one director for more than 10 years now. I have another guy who I've been working for the past year or two. I mean, I can't say working, he gave me a couple of jobs over the years. But the point is, once you get your foot in the door with these guys and you become the go-to person for motion graphics, you are their default person for that specific specialty. So I didn't find the need to push that aspect anymore. Mm. And that's why I market myself on LinkedIn. There's a few things that I write over there in order of importance. First, I position myself for the consumer. I call myself B2C, even if I work with businesses, because at the end of the day, it's the person who's... every business has a person. I'm dealing with a person. I'm not dealing with an entity, even if it's a big business. So I write for myself. I wrote producer of epic marketing videos that help you make money. And the next thing I wrote was motion graphics and visual effects guru, which in that line, I'm talking to the producers and directors
right.
who might be looking for that. And finally, podcast producer, which again, you know, anybody who might want that type of work, which is really the last thing on the list for me in terms of interest as well.
Right. Makes a lot of sense. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about audiences. Because that is, I think, when it comes to marketing in general, not just video marketing, the number one thing that people are always saying is you have to know your audience. Who is your audience? And not only that, not know your audience, but you should be as specific as possible with when you describe who your audience is. So, let's say someone's just sort of developing their business. They're sort of testing the waters, figuring out where they lie. How would you suggest that people can best define who their audience is when it comes to marketing, that is? How they're going to make money, how they're going to get clients, that sort of thing.
I think every person who is creating a product or a service, he already knows who his service is for. If you're creating something, you know who it's for. Otherwise, why are you creating it, right?
Right. Although I think sometimes people do get confused. As in, they might think, I'm creating this for all women, right? Which is a big field of people. But what they might not realize is, wow, you know, what I'm really creating this for is women age 20 to 35 who have just started having children and are looking for X, Y, and Z, you know? So I think that people have an idea sometimes of who their audience is, but sometimes I think they make the mistake of not getting specific enough with who their audience is. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. Again, it's going to depend on a case-by-case basis, every business.
Right, of course.
You know, everyone has to look. I've seen this, exactly your point, in some copywriting class that I took. Yeah, it sounds weird that I should take copywriting classes, but I took on Udemy some course because I do need to write sometimes. I'm working on like a really low budget project where the client comes to me and he has a basic script. So I need to have some basic writing skills. So I took supplementary classes, you know, on Udemy. And one of the things that they teach, and I've seen this on many posts from professional copywriters, exactly as you described, you need to know exactly the down to the hair color and the eye color of the person you're talking to. And I've seen this tip to, you could jot down on a piece of paper, you know, an imaginary person who you're targeting, and try to fill out as many details about that person as possible. What his interests are, his likes, his dislikes, what he looks like, where he works, all that stuff. And then kind of create a sketch and even put that up on, stick that on the wall across, you know, next to your computer when you're writing. This was for copywriting. And when you are writing, you're constantly looking at that and you're talking to a person, to an imaginary person, which is as close as possible to who you imagine your clients to be, who you want your client to be.
Yeah, it's an important exercise, really. It's really, really important. Basically, would you agree that people generally know their audience, but they're not specific enough about their audience?
Yeah, I think that people generally know about their audience, but are not specific enough. And this could be a good exercise for people to practice and get more specific.
Yeah, I've heard that before, that one of the best ways you can define your audience is literally think of the person, the foods they like to eat, the clothes they like to wear, everything, and you should be making your stuff for that one person. Now, of course, that doesn't mean you're going to exclude all groups of people, but I think it's a very good exercise, especially with video or anything creative, really. If it's writing, if it's video, if it's a graphic, maybe, because I think what it causes you to do is it causes you to think really critically about how what you're making is affecting people or reaching people or getting to them in some emotional way, which is really, really important, I think, for video marketing, is to really think about the impact that this thing you're creating is having. And so I think when we start to think of even one individual person that we're making this for, then it causes us to potentially create a more impactful piece of content.
Okay, so now you created a video for your audience. How do you know if it's the right type of content?
Yes, so that's what we're really trying to get to here tonight, right? Not just talking about the audience, but what is the right type of content? So let's talk about some different examples here, right? So I'll take me for example. Some of what I do is working towards organizations, nonprofits, small businesses, and making video content for them. So if I really wanted to cater my stuff towards them, then I really shouldn't be focusing on doing a lot of tutorials in Premiere on how to color correct or how to do audio. That's really gonna fly over the heads of a lot of people, right? What I really wanna be doing is I wanna be thinking about some of these organizations. It's like one organization in particular. Now, this isn't a small business, but for some reason, it's the first one that's coming to mind right now. So let's say one of my ideal clients is Yad Vashem, right? I really wanna get to them and make them see my content, and not just see my content, but think afterwards, wow, I really wanna hire this person to do our videos. So I need to be thinking about the type of stuff that's interesting to them, the type of information or value that they could get from a potential video, and something that will be memorable to them. You know, so no tutorials, nothing technical. I'm not speaking to other, you know, cohort or filmmakers right now. I'm really speaking to an organization, and how can I help them solve any problem? And that actually, that tip right there is actually from an idea sheet that I got from Two Heads. So if anybody out there listening is having trouble coming up with ideas based on your business and what type of content you can be making, so you should check them out because they have a really good form. It's just a good brainstorm to help you think about, open your mind a bit and think about the kinds of videos that you should be making for your specific audience. So one of them is, do I have any solutions to problems that they have? Maybe they have a problem taking historical footage and making it relevant, right? Making it something that people can engage with. So then I could maybe think up a video that talks about the, you know, top five ways to make historical footage interesting and engaging to people today, something like that. So that's, first of all, two examples. That's an example of how you can think of one specific person or client that would benefit and create a video from it. And second, how you can make sure that you're speaking directly to your audience, as an example.
You mentioned there was this form by Two Heads. I don't think I came across it. Maybe we should put up a link in the show notes or the podcast description for our audience.
Yeah, great, great. I will ask them if we can go ahead and post the link. It's super helpful. It helped me a lot. And it's always good, you know, when you're feeling in a creative mode to try to generate a lot of ideas so that when you're, you know, not feeling so creative or not feeling so motivated, you have that to fall back on. So we'll try and put a link below and give it a shot. And then people listening can let us know if it was helpful to them in trying to come up with some content. Another question that I had, since we're on the topic of trying to come up with topics for our videos. So when you've created videos, I know when I was first starting to do some content, I kind of felt like I was just testing things out, shooting in the dark here. I didn't think about strategy so much. I was just kind of making stuff. So have you ever been surprised by a video that you made for video marketing purposes that did really well or maybe didn't do so well that surprised you?
I wasn't surprised by videos that did well because videos that I invested time in and thought, you know, put in a lot of thought, you know, that did well. It was kind of okay. Yeah, that's what I was expecting that. But some of the videos that I created, like behind the scenes videos, that did not gain a lot of traction, actually did surprise me. Every so often, videos that had invested time and energy into making, when they did well, I wasn't really surprised. There were a few videos which I put in the time and effort, and I was surprised they didn't do as well as I'd hoped. In which case, I would be sure to repeat it and repost it a few months later. Honestly, most videos that I put up are thought out, and I expect them to do well because I don't just put up random videos for the most part. So I don't have too many surprises in terms of extra engagement or not enough engagement. Most importantly, I try not to read into the engagement too much because I estimate that about half or more of the work that I've gotten through LinkedIn came from indirect contacts, either through recommendations or from people who I've never seen interact with my content, but they tell me, "Oh, I've been following you for a long time. I really love you, like your stuff." And I'm like, "Okay, it's interesting because I never see you interact. I don't see any like or comment whatsoever." So I don't really putting too much thought into the engagement of the video. I just make sure to show up every day, and it works. So I don't think about it too much. How about you? Do you have any specific styles or videos that you were surprised?
I think in my early days, one of the videos I created that was a little bit surprising to me was a video I did on copyright. Because in the beginning, I'm creating videos and I'm just trying to be consistent and I don't care so much about how many people who are watching. I'm just trying to make stuff, right? And I remember I made this video on copyright. How do I know I'm breaking copyright? And it actually made a big jump from the videos before that I was making. Now, again, it wasn't so huge at the time, but still, I thought it was very interesting. So even though this might be, I guess, a little bit contrary to all to the things we just discussed, I feel like that video, the reason why people were so interested in it, people that normally wouldn't be in my network, is because that's really a question that every single person has these days. Every single person who is trying to make any sort of content, I feel like in the back of their minds, they're always wondering, am I allowed to use this music? Am I allowed to use this picture? What am I supposed to do? It's just kind of this big, scary world, especially if you're not in film and you're not used to taking different medias and putting them together. It's just kind of this thing where everyone goes, okay, I feel like everyone does it, and I hope I'm not being illegal, so I hope I can go ahead and do it. So I feel like that really hit an interesting nerve with people, where a lot of people were just like, wow, I've had the exact same question. Now, I didn't necessarily answer everyone's question, but I think it started a good discussion. So I think that's another important point is that yes, you can have a niche and be going towards your specific audience, but that doesn't mean you can't at the same time reach a wider array of people. I don't think it should be your goal to necessarily reach every single person in the world, but if you go ahead and do that, through trying to reach your specific audience, I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. You just reminded me of this one post I put up. It was probably about a year and a half ago. It was a random thing. I found some historic footage. I was working on a video edit, and I came across some historic footage of Tel Aviv in the 19 it was 1948, I believe, or 1947, like before Shabbat, where this rabbi is going around on the back of this pickup truck, and he's blowing this this horn, and I found it really funny. I just put it up there with some Shabbat music, and it just shot up. Like, everyone loved it. It was just got like close to 10,000 views, and I'm like, that's not even my thing. I'm not about going viral. Like I said, it really didn't give me anything whatsoever. But that was really surprising that people enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny the things we don't anticipate sometimes doing very well. What you were just talking about, like you were just saying, it was kind of fun. It was kind of cool that all these people really loved it. But I think that an important thing to note is that we shouldn't be too enthralled by the idea of going viral or having a video that does a ton. I've heard many people say, like, I've gone viral, so what? The people who have made a video that's quote unquote gone viral. Not that, this is what you were saying, but I think it's an important thing to note that even though it's very easy to get bedazzled by this, sort of popularity of going viral, quote unquote, but at the end of the day, it's not about going viral. It's not about getting 2 million people to watch your video. It's about what happens with those people after your video ends, right? Like, do they become engaged people? Do they share your videos, your posts, your pages to their friends, or do they just watch a cool video and then forget about it afterwards? I think that's the most important thing. And sometimes I think it's a hard thing for people to think about, hard thing for them to swallow, because it's very easy. It's great to be, you know, have a video go viral. But at the end of the day, we don't get anything just from a viral video. We get things from referrals, from clients, from landing deals, whatever it is our goal is with video marketing, right? That's what we get from. So I think the most important thing is to have a type of engagement, you know, engaged people that stay with you over, you know, a ton of views.
Yeah, that's true. And if I got two new followers and, you know, engagers, that connections that really matter, yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. What topics for videos have worked for you?
What topics have worked for me? Well, that copyright one, I think that worked really well. That was just getting down, like I said, to a specific aspect of things we all deal with when we're making videos. You know, I think really, really practical things. I think one of the pieces of feedback that I've gotten from people on some of the marketing videos that I've made is that they're very practical and they get right to the point. You know, the worst thing I think that you can do with some of these videos is kind of take a long time because you want a cool intro or you want to try this or you want to do this. But in general, my process is just get right to the point. So I think the videos that have done the best or worked for me are ones that are practical, get right to the point, and give people value, which is really just what we're trying to do with these, right?
Yeah. What's worked for me is behind the scenes videos. Something that I haven't gotten too much of those videos up lately, because for me it really takes a lot of effort and time to go and create those behind the scenes videos. But by far the most popular videos for me have been showing people what goes on behind the scenes, how, what it takes to create a video, an edit, a motion graphics piece, a visual effect. People absolutely love it, because anything, you know, I know from speaking from experience, I look when somebody else posts a video behind the scenes from a field that's not video marketing, for me as an outsider, it's a peek into a whole other world, and it's fascinating, and people love these things. If you create, especially if you create it in a short 1 to 2 minute video that's concise and focused and it doesn't draw on, and you just give them that, it's really, it works wonders. You know, people love it, they become followers, expect more, and then I go cold for 6 months.
Yeah, it's true. Like those ones that are super sped up, showing you do something, you know, really fast. I think it's also great, you know, it's great for people, even if they don't understand anything about the video process, because it shows people that you can do highly advanced things. And obviously you're not really showing them how to do it. It just is very mesmerizing, and it's very cool to see, you know, even people working in a field that you know nothing about, but to see it happen super, super quick, and then at the end come up with a cool, fun product, you know. I think that's the reason why people are sometimes mesmerized by cooking videos sometimes, and why food videos are so popular. It's because they're just mesmerized by seeing something so nicely and easily come together. And of course, little do they know that if they were to actually try that, it's a lot more complicated. But there's something very nice about just seeing someone simply do something, be an expert at it, and have a product at the end.
And show that you're passionate about it and you're good at it.
Yeah.
I found it served multiple purposes. It showed, you know, it gave people an interesting video to view, you know, that's just very basic. And then it showed them that you're good at what you do, you're passionate. It educated them about the amount of work that goes into sometimes a really simple, something that could be perceived as very simple. And the engagement has been, you know, off the charts. Everyone says, like, wow, I didn't really ever think about the amount of work that goes into creating such a simple piece of video. And for fellow video professionals, while I'm not giving them, you know, a tutorial, even though I would love to, but that's not what I'm here to do. It's just boring. In 2 minutes, I really enjoy as a video professional to see it's more of an inspiration piece.
Yeah.
Because if somebody is in the field, they see exactly the steps and they say, oh, cool, okay, they do pick up tips along the way. And that's the idea. It covers, kind of ticks a whole lot of boxes.
Totally. I mean, when I watch those videos, what I do, because, you know, they're super sped up very fast, I think to myself, oh, I know how to do that, but not that. Ooh, that's how you do that? Oh, that's very interesting. I didn't think about that. So it's very interesting. It's very cool when you can have a video and have different types of people get different types of meaning from it.
And sometimes what people don't realize, it's not just recording a time lapse of the screen and just speeding it up. It's very specific. You know, I speed up certain parts. I kind of slow it down for very specific parts where I want to focus on a specific thing. And the video in its entirety looks like, okay, just a quick 1 minute time lapse. But there are certain parts which I kind of zoom in because I know, okay, I'm going to give another 3 seconds over here for the fellow animator to pick up on certain tips.
Mm.
You know, it's just kind of, yeah, you're thinking about all the possible people who will be seeing this and just make sure that it works for everybody. So let's wrap up this podcast and maybe give one quick tip for people who want to create videos, want to create content to distribute on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, wherever. Maybe I should start because I just had this conversation with somebody about a week or two ago. He wanted me to help him with his personal branding. He wants to start creating videos. So I did a quick dig through his current feed on LinkedIn, and I noticed that most of his videos were either recycled, taken from other sources, inspirational videos. They were kind of all over the place. So the tip I gave him is content first. Come up with a content plan, something that you're A, passionate about, B, is going to be of interest to your viewers, and something that you can, you know, just go on, put yourself on camera, take out your phone, shoot yourself in selfie video, and just start talking before you think about production value or anything else. Just talk about the content itself. Find something you're passionate about, something that you're good at, and something that's going to benefit your audience. And that's how you build yourself a fan base.
My one tip would probably be is to always have the end goal in mind. I think it's very easy to get carried away thinking, oh, I should make a video about this. Oh, maybe I should talk about this thing. I'm going to this cool place. Let's go over here. Think about your end goal. Think about who you're speaking to, what you want for them, whether it's landing deals, making connections, whatever it is, and cater your video to that. Stay super specific, and I think that will lead to success for every single person out there looking to do video marketing. So that is my tip. That is basically our episode 5 for today. I hope you got some really, really helpful tips on what topics to pick for your video and how you can be relevant to your audience. I hope you got some great ideas, and I hope we start seeing some of your guys' work.
And even if you didn't walk away with a specific tip, I found it very useful to get inspiration from these types. Just general guidance and inspiration is always useful. And you could take that and implement that into your marketing videos.
There's nothing specific over here. You know, there's no one size fits all like we talked about before for every single person. It's about taking ideas, taking the blueprints, and then applying them to what you do. So with that, I think that's a great end to this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Stay tuned next week for another episode. I'm Elisheva Hudson.
And I'm Avram Cohn. Just a quick reminder, visit mumblepod.com to check out previous episodes and find links to the podcast on your favorite platforms. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to leave a review and share this podcast with a friend.